This is Pastor Doug Joseph of Christian Apostolic Church, Clarksburg, West Virginia, inviting you to attend the annual Fresh Oil Conference, a time of anointing that is sure to be a powerful, transformational event in your life. This year's lineup includes spiritual giants such as Dr. David K. Bernard, General Superintendent of the United Pentecostal Church International, Reverend Aaron Bounds, lead pastor of the Anchor Church of Zanesville, Ohio, evangelist Carlton Clark of Phoenix, Arizona, and West Virginia's own Anthony Moss, lead pastor of North Charleston Apostolic Church. Get your free tickets online at cac.us.com/tickets. The event is free, but act quickly because space is limited and the seats are already almost all taken. Fresh Oil is a powerful encounter for people from virtually all levels of faith. Attend and receive a greater anointing for a deeper level in your walk with God. Join a wildfire of worship. Experience an avalanche of anointing. Hear the call of God for the fulfillment of your destiny. Fresh Oil Conference 2016, August 18 through 20 at Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg. The pre-conference service is Wednesday, August 17 at 7 p.m. The keynote address Thursday, August 18 at 7:30 p.m. Friday, August 19, morning anointing will be at 10 a.m. and evening anointing at 7:30 p.m. And the capstone service Saturday evening, August 20 at 6 p.m. Again, for more information or to get your free tickets, visit us online at cac.us.com/tickets. That's cac.us.com/tickets. Don't miss Fresh Oil 2016, a time of anointing you'll never forget.
Welcome to the Voice of Truth on 103.3 WHAR-FM, the radio broadcast ministry of Christian Apostolic Church in Clarksburg, West Virginia. And now, your host, author, teacher, and pastor, Doug Joseph.
Today's broadcast is entitled Noble Romans, and it includes lessons that we can learn from some of the noble Roman citizens described in God's Word. But before we get to that, let's hear a great song about freedom from our friends Phillips, Craig, and Dean. From their album, Where Strength Begins, the name of this song is This Is How It Feels to Be Free.
There's a wall that has been standing since the day that Adam fell. Sin is where it started. Sin is white hell. Speaking as a prisoner who was there and lived to tell, I remember how it felt. I can hear the sound of freedom like a distant voice it called and beckoned me to follow where I had never gone. And though my heart was willing, I just stood there at the wall, praying somehow it would fall. But in a cross I found a doorway and a hand that held the keys. When the chains fell at my feet, for the first time I could see.
This is how it feels to be free. This is what it means to know.
And I was in like a living nightmare burning from within. I can feel the voice of evil, I can hear the call of sin, but I won't go back again. See, once I tasted freedom, then the walls could bind no more. Since mercy gave me wings to fly like an eagle, I can soar.
This is how it feels to be free.
you'll turn with me in your Bibles to Matthew chapter 7, I'm bringing a message tonight about what we can learn from noble Romans. What we can learn from noble Romans. That may sound funny if you've ever heard of a pizza brand called Noble Romans, but we're going with the literal meaning of the phrase there. There are some Roman citizens mentioned in God's Word that were noble people. And there are things that we can learn from them. And we can read about one of them in Matthew chapter 8. And we're reading there. It won't take long for us to get a little bit of background in the first four verses of the chapter. It's one of those times when Jesus has just come from a miracle, on his way to do a miracle, and somebody stops him in the middle of his journey for a miracle. And thank goodness Jesus does not get impatient with us. How many of you have ever gotten impatient? Amen. Those of you that didn't raise your hand, repent for lying. Thank the Lord Jesus never gets impatient. He can be just, we can read in the scriptures that he grew tired in his humanity. He grew tired, but yet he is always so selfless and giving. The scripture says in Matthew chapter 8, when he was come down from the mountain, great multitudes followed him. And behold, there came a leper and worshipped him, saying, Lord, if thou wilt, thou canst make me clean. Jesus put forth his hand and touched him, saying, I will, be thou clean. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. Sister Shoemaker has a tape of a sermon that she wants to give me where a preacher preached against bitterness. And he used leprosy as a symbol of bitterness. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. The thing about leprosy is you cannot heal yourself. You cannot recover yourself. And there are wounds that we get in our spirit that are so damaging that if you don't go to him for help, you are going to be scarred with that for the rest of your life. But aren't you glad we can go to him? And he touches us and takes that away. And immediately his leprosy was cleansed. And Jesus saith unto him, See thou tell no man, but go thy way. Show thyself to the priests, and offer the gift that Moses commanded for a testimony unto them. And now into our encounter with a noble Roman. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there came unto him a centurion, beseeching him. Now I'll mention there is another Roman centurion mentioned in Acts chapter 10. And if we have time, we'll get over to him tonight. And when Jesus was entered into Capernaum, there met him a centurion beseeching him and saying, Lord, my servant lieth at home, sick of the palsy, grievously tormented. And Jesus saith unto him, I will come and heal him. The centurion answered and said, Lord, I am not worthy that thou shouldest come under my roof, but speak the word only, and my servant shall be healed. For I am a man, notice this, he did not say in authority. He did not say I am a man who has authority. He did not say I am a man with authority. He said I am a man under authority, having soldiers under me. And I say to this man, go, and he goeth, and to another, come, and he cometh. And to my servant, do this, and he doeth it. When Jesus heard it, he marveled and said to them that followed, Verily I say unto you, I have not found so great faith, no, not in Israel. And I say unto you that many shall come from the east and west and shall sit down with Abraham and Isaac and Jacob in the kingdom of heaven. But the children of the kingdom shall be cast out into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. And Jesus said unto the centurion, Go thy way, as thou hast believed, so be it done unto thee. And his servant was healed in the selfsame hour. I want to start off tonight by saying something that our elders have taught us. It is what we would call a pithy saying or a proverb. It's not a biblical proverb, it's just a proverb. And that is that you get more with honey than you do with vinegar. Amen. The reason why I want to mention this is because there are times when we get frustrated that we oppose ourselves. Now, there's one scripture that says
that the servant of the Lord, it's in 2 Timothy chapter 3, the servant of the Lord must not strive. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, patient, in meekness instructing them that oppose themselves. Now, if we're not careful, we wind up being the person who is opposing himself. Amen. Let me give you an example. You don't want your marriage to end, so you're trying to address the problem, and you are addressing the problem harshly. You are hastening the end of your own marriage while not wanting it to end. You are opposing yourself. The servant of the Lord must not strive, but be gentle, patient, in meekness instructing those that oppose themselves. Make sure that you are the one who is giving sound instruction to someone who is opposing themselves, instead of being the one who is doing the opposing of yourself. Amen. You get more with honey than you do with vinegar. I know when we're frustrated, we want to lash out. That's our carnal nature. Our carnal nature wants to lash out when we get frustrated. Be careful. You're actually acting counterproductively at that point. Why do I have to say this? Because we're all like this. Why are we all like this? Is it because God made us this way? No. It's because the sin curse made us this way. Don't blame God for your shortcomings. It's not God's fault you have weaknesses. It's the sin curse. Blame Adam and Eve. I'm thankful by the time I get to heaven, I'm going to be so mature that I'm going to be beyond jap-slapping Adam. When I get to heaven, I'm going to be so mature, I'm going to be beyond giving Eve a piece of my mind. I'll be so mature, I'll be able to just hug them and love on them, if they made it, that is. I hope they did. Amen. All of us have struggles with pride. Amen. You don't see Jesus on the cross saying, "I never sinned. I'm too good to have to suffer this." You don't see that in Him. Where do you see that? You see that in us. We're the ones, and when the Lord calls on us to sacrifice, it is our pride that is showcased when we say, "Why am I stuck here in this?" It is in our brokenness, it is in our flawed humanity, it is in our sin-cursed carnal frame that we find pride raising its ugly head. And it leads us into bitterness, pity parties. You know the funny thing about a pity party? Nobody wants to come. Except other people who were already having their own pity party. And when you get a multiple group of pity partiers together, it is a disaster. I want to talk to you about some lessons we can learn from noble Romans. You know, Brother Billy Cole used to teach, and perhaps not everyone here knows this, but let me just give a little history here. My mother raised me in church, even with my dad fighting against her over it. My dad would have been very happy for her not to take us to church. And there were times when he absolutely physically and verbally and emotionally fought her over raising us in church. He was not a godly man. But my mother prayed for us, and she took us to church, and she taught us what was right. And she got us in the presence of people who would teach us what was right. And she prayed for us. And the Lord had mercy. My mother was very determined about teaching us godliness and leading us in the way of God. I remember an occasion, a very hot summer day. How many of y'all know it was hot out there today? Can I tell you that today was mild compared to some hot days down in Louisiana? I'm not exaggerating when I say you could fry your bacon on the hood of the vehicle down there some days. And it was one of those hot days, and my mom was struggling to get her five children to church on time. Well, I thought that would get an amen at least. My mom was struggling to get her five children to church on time. Without her husband's help, without the daddy's help, struggling to get her five children to church on time. And Jason got to the age that he decided, my oldest brother, he decided he was big enough to tell mama he didn't want to go to church that day. My mama, in the tone of authority that only mamas have, ordered her children, go outside and get in the car. And all of us obeyed except Jason. And we sat there. That vinyl was so hot that it was cooking us. We were literally cooking ourselves like lobsters in the pot. And we were praying for Jason to see sense, praying for him to come to the light, realize the error of his way and repent. And we were cursing his name at the same time. All at the same time we were doing this. And all at once the screen door flew open. And Jason, first his foot came out. Then the rest of him came out sideways. And when finally his head emerged, my mom had him by the hair of his head, shoving him to the car. And she put him in the car. That was the last time he tried to tell her he wasn't going to church. But my dad withstood her over these things, but she persisted. She just insisted. But there came a day when the depression and his sin got the better of him, and my dad killed himself. And so I received the Holy Ghost at 16 years of age, was called to preach at 17 years of age. My dad killed himself at 18 years of age. And I got a call to come and preach a revival for Brother Billy Cole at 19 years of age. So this little skinny, heartsick, depressed preacher boy put everything that he owned in the car and drove to West Virginia to preach for Brother Cole. And I kind of latched on to Brother Cole as a father figure and stayed in West Virginia. And so when you hear me quote from my pastor that has now gone on to be with the Lord, this is the man that I'm talking about. He was a great man of God. And Brother Billy Cole had many, many wise sayings. And I wish I could be more like him in some ways. There are other ways in which he had flaws, and I don't want to be like him. But there were occasions when his temper flared. I remember one occasion, he was very human. And his friend, Brother Doug Kleindienst, he developed a hand gesture to symbolize Brother Billy Cole's personality. The hand gesture looks like this. It's a roller coaster going down. And what he means is Brother Cole can reach the heights of spirituality and the depths of carnality in the blink of an eye. And Brother Billy Cole used to say, a man that doesn't have a temper isn't worth a warm mouthful of spit. But what he meant is, a man that cares enough to get riled up, but hopefully has enough of the Holy Ghost in him to stay calm once he gets riled up. But you take a man who doesn't care, and he is worthless. If he doesn't care, he will not participate in the things of God. He will not participate in fatherhood. He will not participate in being a godly husband because he doesn't care. Those that don't care, it's just like a hopeless case. You might as well write them off. But I want to address the ones who do care. And you care so much that when you see it going wrong, it gets you riled up. Now, I can identify with you. I cannot fathom the one who doesn't care. I can identify with the guy who's a hothead because he lost his temper because he cares so much. I can identify with that guy. Brother Billy Cole used to say it this way. Remember the scene when they came to arrest Jesus and Peter decided now is the time for us to rise up and follow the Messiah into military victory and we're going to cast Roman shackles off of Israel, and he grabbed up a sword and he chopped off Malchus's ear. And Brother Billy Cole said it this way. He wasn't aiming for his ear. He meant to split his head in two. Right where he parted his hair. He meant to cleave him open like a melon. And he missed. Well, thank God, sometimes we miss. Let me tell you what. The Bible says the wrath of man worketh not the righteousness of God. But Brother Billy Cole would say it this way, I can identify with Peter. I've seen the time when he got so angry, he slammed his hand down on the table. Rah! Can you believe that I could forgive him for that and still revere him as a great man of God? He was a great man of God, but he was human, but he cared. And because of his care, at times he got angry. The Bible says, be angry and sin not. Why? Because it's easy to sin when you're angry. Boy, I'm really preaching to myself now. Be careful. Because when you care and when you are invested, when you are emotionally invested in your family, when you are emotionally invested in your community, when you are emotionally invested in your church, it's easy to care so much that you get upset. And when you get upset, if you're not careful, you wind up trying to get things with vinegar instead of with honey. And you wind up opposing yourself. You're actually harming the thing instead of helping it. You're doing more harm than good. I want to turn your attention to this noble Roman. We can learn something from him. This guy, he's not a Jew. He doesn't know the Mosaic law. How are we going to learn something from him? Another little pithy saying of my pastor, Brother Billy Cole. He'd say this. Well, you can get good from anywhere. Just learn to eat the meat and spit out the bones. People would come to him and say, you know, you're preaching that and I've heard you preach that before. And he'd say, well, I've heard you sing the same song 800 times. He just had a way with words. People would come to him and say, that point sounds just like a point I heard this false doctrine preacher make. And Brother Billy Cole would say, he's where I got it. I got it from him. I'm reusing it. The point's good. The guy I got it from is not good, but the point itself is good. Just eat the meat and spit out the bones. So I want to tell you, you can learn something from anybody. Even if all you're learning is what not to do, you can learn something from anybody. This guy, he's not a Jew, he's a Roman. But this guy is noble. And he's got some wisdom. And there's some things we can learn from him. And that Roman centurion in Acts 10, he's a noble man. He's a noble Roman. And there's some things we can learn from him. I want to direct your attention. The Bible says that when Jesus came into this city, Capernaum, that there met him a centurion beseeching him. I want to point something out to you. This man, during his conversation with Jesus, said, I am a man under authority. I have people that when I tell them to go, they go. When I tell them to come, they come. I have soldiers under me that do what I say. I have servants under me that do what I say. But did you notice that this man who had power to tell people to go to Jesus didn't send somebody? He came himself. Can I tell you there are some things you need to do yourself? What are you talking about, Pastor Joseph? Let me just be real honest and put the rubber where it meets the road. You see somebody doing wrong? Don't send someone else to deal with it. Go yourself. Matthew 18. Deal with that matter yourself. If you were the eyewitness that saw it being done wrong, don't beat around the bush and tell this one it was wrong and tell that one it was wrong and report to the pastor it was wrong. You saw it being done wrong. Do what Matthew 18 says. Go deal with it. This man didn't send somebody else to Jesus. He went himself. It was important enough that it warranted him saying, I have people that I could command to go do this, but I am going to go do it myself. It warranted that. It was that important. Another thing I want to point out to you is there were many occasions when people sought Jesus for healing for themselves or for healing for a family member. This man had a slave in his house who was sick. And this man cared so much for this slave in his house that he has gotten up and left his home and journeyed to find Jesus himself to confront Jesus and beseech him for help personally. Not for a family member, not for himself, but for a slave in his house. There's a lesson there about us being selfless, not selfish. This man seemed to feel that it would be proper for his slave to come to him for help, but not proper for him to let his slave go to Jesus for help. He felt it would be proper for his men to report to him, but not for him to send his men to report to Jesus. He viewed this as a chain of command thing, and he viewed Jesus as above him in this. People below me can come to me, but I'm not going to send people below me to him. I will go to him myself, because he was a humble man. How do you know he was a humble man? Look at the circumstances. Look at what he did. Actions speak louder than words, but even his words reveal it. Jesus said, I'll come to your house. I'll heal him. No, Lord, I'm not worthy for you to come into my house. He's a humble man. He knows how authority works. He is under authority of people that are above him. They tell him where to go and he does it. And he has people in authority below him. He tells them where to go and they go. And he knows that Jesus has power. This is demonstrating faith, that Jesus has power. But he not only believes that Jesus has power, he believes that Jesus has so much power and that Jesus has so much authority that Jesus doesn't have to journey to his house, come into his house to perform the healing, that Jesus can simply use his authority and command that it be done. And his basis of requesting that Jesus use his authority is, I am not worthy for you to come into my house. Some of us really need to learn this lesson from this Roman centurion. No, he's not a Jew. No, he's not educated in the Mosaic law. No, he doesn't look like somebody you'd be going to for a lesson. But can I tell you, there's a lot of us that could really learn something from this noble Roman. Let me tell you what some people actually do. Okay? They skip church, mind you. Now, I'm not talking about missing church because you were sick. I'm not talking about missing church because you were out of town. I'm not talking about missing church because you had to work. I'm talking about people that just skip church just to see if somebody will miss me. And if they don't get a call, then they're offended. That is pride. Pride says, I think I'm pretty valuable. I think I'm pretty important. And how dare they not?
Thank you for listening. You can reach us online at cac.us.com. Catch the Voice of Truth broadcast each Sunday morning at 11:30 right here on Talk Radio 103.3 WAJR-FM.